If it's Sunday morning, it's time for a little rewind. The saddest news of the year is that this is the last day of our Supernatural series. The greatest news of the year is that this is like the pinnacle of everything we've done, because we saw last week that we were actually challenged to act supernaturally, and that just blew our mind. Do you remember? Because the battle is supernatural, I need supernatural weapons. I can't just go out in my own strength. So last week, we learned to activate four key weapons. We learned to speak in tongues because we saw that as we receive the gift of tongues and as we minister to people, it will clear our minds and put us in the space where we are able to minister the word of life, the grace of God, and the supernatural into their lives. Andrew taught us last week about sharing wisdom with people. He taught us how to feel it. You know, something for someone, if we're praying, we might feel what's going on in their lives. We can know it, we can see it, we can read it, we can say it, we can dream it, and we can experience it. And in that context, we're able to touch lives. And we did it. There were words of knowledge in the place. We were challenged last week by Siviwe to actually go and heal the sick. Do you remember Siviwe said, Jesus didn't say we must pray for the sick. He said we must heal the sick. That's a big difference. And he said sickness is a criminal and we are the policemen. Let's do our job. Do you remember he said that we're obligated to heal? Man, that rocked me. That's been with me this whole week. And so we learned how to welcome the Spirit into a healing moment, to command the sickness or pain to go. Do you remember all over here there were groups and sickness and disease and pains just left this place. They couldn't stand in this place as we released the alignment of God in that area. And we thank God for the healing and we checked. Who was healed last week? Who was touched by God? Hand up. Yeah, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Yes. Praise God. And if there was a dead person here last week, they would have been raised from the dead. Jesus said in the same breath, heal the sick, raise the dead. And we saw that Jesus said like, hey, whatever I've done, you are going to do greater than this. You are going to go beyond this. Jesus promised to do greater things through you even than what he did, and that blew us away. Well, today we're going to activate another four weapons. And you all know that it's one thing to have a weapon, but I told you last week, if it's a hand grenade, you've got to pull the pin, right? If it's a rocket-propelled grenade you're going to shoot from your shoulders, you've got to pull the firing pin out. Otherwise, when it hits the helicopter, it goes ding. How many of you know in battle, ding is not a good sound. You want to hear boom! Yeah. Got to get the boom on you all, okay? Otherwise, you're doing nothing to the evil one. And so today, there are going to be four of the most spectacular communicators that his people, Joburg, knows about. And it's Pastor Carol. It's Debbie. It is Chili. A name like that, you've got to be a great preacher, dude. And it is Gloria. And they are going to lead us, not just in a mental understanding, but in an activation. Okay? I'm going to ask Carol Gosman if she would come forward and kick us off this morning. A round of applause.
Good morning, everyone. We're going to be talking about driving out demons. How many of you, when I say that, just feel a little bit of fear in your hearts? You can be honest. It makes you tremble a little bit. But the truth about demons is this: that's their greatest weapon. They want to make you so scared of them that you will never even go near them. You'll never even think about them. You'll try and just ignore them and just carry on with your life and pretend they don't exist. They love to live in secrecy. They love to worm their way into your life and pretend that they're not really there and torment you and keep you in bondage, and you're too scared to do anything about it. But Mark said that I was going to kick it off, so we're going to kick it off by kicking out demons. Is that good for you?
Yes.
Awesome. So the first scripture we have is from Mark 16, and it says, "And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison." That doesn't mean you can purposefully pick up snakes and drink poison, okay? But it means if by chance you happen to drink poison, God will save you, okay? It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick and they will get well. The very first thing, in my name, they will drive out demons. Did you know? Well, this is something my mom used to always tell me when I was young, when I was scared of spiders. She would say to me, "Dear, those spiders are more scared of you than you are of them. Just stand on them." And that helped me a little bit. But my secret to tell you today is that demons are more scared of you than you are of them. If Jesus Christ lives in you, then they tremble when you open your eyes in the morning. They are in fear that you will actually realize who you are. Because the minute you realize who you are, their time is done. They're out of there. Deliverance is a normal part of Christian life. In Matthew 10, you saw the scripture last week. I'm not going to show it to you, but Jesus said, as you go, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. He said, as you go. In other words, what Jesus meant is that in everyday life, you're going to come across demons. As you go, as you live, cast out demons. So in other words, we don't go looking for demons. We don't search them out and you know, every single person we pray for, we say, how many demons have you got? But what it means is that when you come across a demon, you do not have to fear. You simply tell it to go, and it has to go. Is that good with you? We're going to talk a little bit more about that. It's interesting to note that demons don't inhabit nations. Demons don't inhabit rooms. They inhabit people. They're looking for a place to live. And so when you are in relationship with people and when you're sharing the gospel and when you're leading people to the Lord and when you are dealing with your own life, you are going to come across demons because that's where demons are. But as you come across them, we don't have to fear. We can just simply cast them out. Many people take a lot of time in thinking about demons. I try not to think about demons much, but let me make this point by telling you this. If, say, I had a alleyway in a city, and in this alleyway there was a lot of garbage, and you know one of those really messy alleyways, and this place was completely filled with rats. The rats were like in the garbage, eating everything, enjoying their place there. What would be the best way of getting rid of those rats? Clean up the garbage. Awesome. You guys are smart. I mean, I could go in there with rat traps and poison, and I could get rid of them, and they'd be gone for a little while. But if I left that garbage there, who knows that in a very short time, those rats would be back. But if I cleaned up the garbage, I painted the place, I opened up some skylights, let some sun in, very soon the rats are going to go and find somewhere else that feels better for them. And this is the truth about demons, is that they love to live in darkness. Their habitation is darkness and deception. And if we spend a whole lot of time casting out demons, but we don't deal with the darkness and the deception in people's hearts, those demons are just going to come back. So really, when we talk about dealing with demons, we're talking about removing darkness in people's lives. Next thing I want to say is that we don't necessarily engage demons purposefully. Jesus says in Mark 1, he healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Now, this is an important thing. Demons, if you come across a demon, you might be a little bit freaked out now. I'm going to go into the specifics in a little bit. But if you come across a demon, say you're speaking to someone and they suddenly start speaking in a strange voice and you discern that this is a demon, you can go ahead and you can ask. Now, don't be freaked out. We're going to get there and we're going to get rid of that. So don't worry. But I'm just trying to illustrate a point. If you had to ask that demon its name, it would tell you a name that you probably can't pronounce. And who knows if it's that name or not. But he wants to just tie you up and twist your tongue and make it so hard for you. And you ask him where he comes from. He'll tell you 25 different things just to keep you occupied and at work and at work. Jesus didn't bother about that. If you read through the Gospels, you will see this. If he was praying for the sick, he just said, "You spirit of infirmity, go." He didn't bother about what its name was. He said, "That demon that's making this person sick, you get away. That person, that demon that's making this person depressed, you just leave. This demon that's making this person have a hard time with their parents and making them rebellious, you just go in Jesus' name." Okay, so you don't need to know its name. You don't even fully need to know why it's there. If you tell it to go, it must go. Next point. Our authority is from God. Do you all remember that story in Luke 7 about the Roman soldier who was in charge of a whole lot of soldiers? And he had a sick servant, and he came to Jesus, and he said to Jesus, will you come and heal? And Jesus said, sure. And then he said, well, you don't even have to come, because I too am a man under authority, and I know what it means to be under authority. Because I'm under the authority of the Roman government, I know that when I tell my soldiers to go somewhere, they go somewhere. They do it. And if I tell them to come, they come. And if I tell my servants to do this or that, they do it. So I understand that you being a person under authority can simply command this person to be healed and they will. And Jesus went ahead and did that, and he said he saw no greater faith in the whole of Israel than this particular non-Jewish person. And what does that mean for us? I'll tell you what it means. Say I was driving home after church today and I just happened to not look at my speedometer and, oh my gosh, I happened to go over the speed limit. And I'm driving along and suddenly this little man in that brownie khaki uniform jumps out from behind a bush. Usually they do it with radar these days, but every now and then they jump out from a bush. And he waves me down. I want to ask you a question. Is my car faster than that man? Is my car stronger than that man? So why do I stop? What makes me stop? I would always stop. I would always pull over. I could outdrive that person. I could just knock him over if I really felt like it. There are many things I could do and not get that fine. I know if I'm pulling over, I'm getting a fine. So why do I pull over? I'll tell you why. Because I know that that little man that steps out into the middle of the road, he's not just a little man. He's a representative of the South African government. And I know that if I mess with him, someone's going to come knocking on my door in a couple of weeks or months, depends how quickly bureaucracy moves, and they're going to invite me to come and spend some time in prison. The weight of the South African government is going to enforce that man's right to tell me to stop. And if I don't listen to that man, there's a higher authority that's going to come and get me. Jesus spoke to the 72 and he sent them out and he said, cast out demons. And I want to say this, that he's giving the same mandate to every person. We saw that right at the beginning in Mark 16, that we are to cast out demons. So in other words, if you stand there and you tell a demon to go, if it does not listen to you, what's going to happen? I'm standing there as a representative of the kingdom of God. And therefore, that demon doesn't listen to me. The wrath of the entire kingdom of my heavenly Father is coming down on that demon. I want to tell you, they are doing everything to get you to not tell them to go. They are just working hard to get you to leave them alone. But the minute that you stand up and say, go in Jesus' name, they have no choice but to go. They are more afraid of you than you could ever be of them, because they see in you the power of the Almighty God, and they see the kingdom of heaven. And so when you stand there, they're going, oh my gosh, please don't let them speak, please don't let them speak. And the minute something comes out of your mouth, they have no choice but to obey. And you know, I have prayed for many people for deliverance, and I remember, well, many times I've prayed, and the demon hasn't listened to me. You know what, I don't fight with it, I don't scream with it, I don't engage at all, I just say this, you have disobeyed me. And I am under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, what do you say about that? I have no idea what happens to that demon, but I want to promise you this. I never see them again. I never hear from them again. They never interface with me ever again. And all I can think is God has grabbed him by the scruff of his neck and said, how dare you disobey my daughter? And I don't know where you put him. I can think of a few places I'd like them to go. Great. Our authority is from God and not from ourselves. You know, if it was just up to you, you'd be in a bad state. But it's not just up to you. God is with you. Demons, like I said, live in people, but they don't just live anywhere in people. They live in houses. The Bible talks about them as strongholds. In 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And it goes on and lists what a stronghold is. And a stronghold is a place in your mind where the thinking patterns or the way you think and the things that you believe have formed a fortress in which a demon can dwell. And you'll know earlier on in the Gospels, Jesus said, when a demon is cast out, he goes to dry and waterless places. And then he comes back and he finds his house all nicely swept and nice. And so he brings seven more, even more wicked than himself, and moves right back in. So when you cast out a demon, or when you are dealing with demons, the issue is they are living in a house in the life of that person. There are fears, there are insecurities, there are deceptions, there's sin, there's ways of thinking that have formed a nice house in the mind of that person where they can live. A stronghold is a place, a fortress from which someone holds authority or governs. And therefore, if you want to make sure that you never have a single demon in your life, someone once asked this, can a Christian have a demon? And the answer that was given is this, a Christian can have anything they want to. So let me say this. In areas where you allow deception to rule in your mind, in areas where you allow sin to rule in your mind, that opens up the door for the devil to come in and make a nice little house out of those thinking patterns and live there very comfortably. And our job as Christians is to go from person to person to person and demolish those houses. To speak the truth, to teach the truth, to demonstrate the truth, to love them into the kingdom of God, to such a point that those wrong thinking patterns are broken down brick by brick by brick by brick until there's nothing there for a demon to live anyway. Remember what I said, when you want to clean up an alleyway, you remove the garbage. If you want to clean up a life, you remove the deception, and the demons will go without you doing anything. Our job as Christians is to disciple people into the kingdom of God. And so I don't ever train my people to specifically go after demons. This is what I train them. I say, you get hold of a person and you teach them about the kingdom of God. You disciple them. You teach them about the love of God. You teach them how to act. You walk with them down the road. You help them get out of sin. And if in doing that with a person, if a demon manifests, you just tell it to go and you continue with the job that you're doing. Because we don't take our eyes off the ball when we're playing a game. There might be distraction that comes from the left and the right and we deal with those, but we keep our eye on the ball and we play the game. And the game is to make disciples of all nations. So we continue doing that, and from time to time, the enemy's going to throw you a little bit of a curveball. And what do you do with that curveball? You just get rid of it and you carry on with the main business. How many of you have had nightmares? Ever? I've had plenty. Do you know where those nightmares come from? Those are demonic spirits speaking to your mind. They're taking the fears that are already in you and they're using that to torment you. How many of you have been walking along one day and you've been just minding your own business and suddenly an evil thought came into your mind from nowhere? That is a demon speaking to you. He's trying to distract you from what you're doing. How many of you have been healthy as anything and suddenly you just started feeling depressed, and then the more you thought about it, you just got more and more depressed, and suddenly you were just down in the dumps? Those are demons speaking to you. Okay, and they're manipulating the way you think to get you to just, oh, I can't do anything. So most of you will say, I've never seen a demon in my life. I want to promise you, you've come across them a lot. And the truth is, remember what I said, demons have to listen to you. So we have to purposefully in our minds begin to think, is this my thought, is this God's thought, or is this a demonic thought? And it's so easy to deal with if it's a demonic thought. What do? You tell me. I can't hear. Anyone, raise your hand. What do if you discern that there was a demon speaking to you? At the back in the pink shirt. Awesome. You tell it to go. There are no special words. There's no exact right way of doing it. You just say, that demon that gave me that thought, go now. And then you carry on walking and doing what you were doing anyway. You don't even give it any more time than that. If it comes back, you say, I told you where to go. Lord, he's not listening to me. Go now. If you wake up in the middle of the night and you've had a bad dream, you wake up and you say this, that demon that gave me that dream, I command you to go right now. And then you go right back to sleep, because its whole purpose is to torment you and keep you awake and keep you from getting the sleep that you need. They're there to distract you and pull you away from the purposes of God. Don't let them. You're with a friend, and that friend is coming to know the Lord, and suddenly that friend is telling you, oh, I don't feel like going to church anymore. I don't know if I really want to serve God. You sit down and you say, may I pray for you? And you don't have to make a big spiel about it. You say, any demon that is speaking to this person and keeping them away from God's kingdom, I command you to go right now in Jesus' name. And that's that. You don't have to wait for the person to fall on the floor and writhe around. If that's happening, you're not doing your job properly, okay? And if anyone ever does manifest a demon like that, you just immediately command it to stop. Because what that demon's doing is he's trying to humiliate that person. And we'll see, I'm not going to go into it because I've run out of time, but when Jesus, remember that little boy that came along and he used to throw himself into the fire and Jesus wanted him to be healed. His father wanted him to be healed. And as Jesus began to pray for him, it says that he fell on the ground and began to writhe around and have kind of like a fit. And Jesus saw the people coming and immediately he commanded that demon to stop. And I'll tell you why he did that, because Jesus is not in the business of humiliating people. Jesus is not in the ministry of tormenting people. If a demon has to manifest like that, he's trying to intimidate you and make you stop. Do not even for one second allow it. You just tell that thing to stop, and if it doesn't, you do what I said. Lord, he's disobeying me. Amen. Yeah. Do you all know what you're going to do if you come across a demon? Tell me out loud with your voices all together. 1, 2, 3. Cast it out. Awesome.
We serve an awesome God, don't we? Yeah. And I'm speaking on prophecy. So move it down. We have a God that loves us so much, and he wants to reveal himself to us constantly. And that's why he has given us the gift of prophecy. I just want to read to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, their encouragement, and comfort. So what is prophecy? Follow the way of love. Prophecy is the supernatural ability to know the heart of God about a specific situation. So it's to find out the heart of God. What does prophecy involve? Prophecy involves a sensing. It's like an impression or an inner conviction. And to simplify it, it's a feeling. I remember when one of the first things that happened to me is I was in the youth group here and things were going well and I was really happy. And during worship, I started to cry, and I felt so sad. It was an incredible sadness that came over me. And I just thought, well, there's nothing wrong in my family. And I came to Mark, and I said, Mark, I sense that there's somebody that's really hurting. And there was a young girl that came up, and she said that her mom had remarried, and the mom loved her, but the stepfather kicked her out of the house, and she had to make another plan. And she was so hurt by that. So I was able to pray for her, and I really trusted that the Lord had done something great. So it's a feeling. Then you get a seeing. It's either pictures or it's like a video that happens, or it could even be a word over somebody. I've heard of people saying, like, they'll see a word depressed over somebody, and then they'll know how to pray for that person or what to share with that person. Something that I often see is pictures. Just recently, I remember I'm just really sad about my mom going and praying and asking the Lord, just please speak to me through that. And I saw a lady walking up, and she was in space. It was all black, and I saw stars being formed and planets. And as she was walking, with somebody. And I knew that somebody was a supernatural being. And it was just walking in space. It was almost like an invisible path that she was following. And then she got to this door. And as the door opened, this super blinding light shone through. And I knew, I couldn't see through, but I knew that she had gone to heaven. And it was just a comforting feeling that I know where my mom's gone. And she looked younger, and so I believe that when we go to heaven, we're going to be younger. And then it could be even be an audible voice. You could hear a voice. I've heard of a person when they were driving, they got to a stop street and they were going about to pull off, and there was this voice that said, "Stop." And as I stopped, this car came speeding through, didn't stop at the stop street, at an incredible speed. And if she had carried on driving, she would have been killed. And so she obeyed that voice. And so God speaks through a sense, through seeing, or through hearing a voice. Why do we prophesy? Remember, Jesus came, and when he left, when he went back to heaven, he sent a comforter. And the comforter is the Holy Spirit. And why do we prophesy? It's to build people up. You know, we don't realize our worth and how valuable we are to the Lord. And often people will speak to us, and it will be a word of telling you how wonderful you are and how much God loves you. Siviwe, the guy that did the miracles last week, whenever he prophesies over me, he always tells me, "You know that you're a princess of Jesus." And that does, it always encourages me. Sometimes scripture is not very specific on a subject. Like if you want to know where you should move to, you might get a scripture that says you must move to a mountain, and you say, "Pardon?" And then when you go and you ask somebody who will prophesy over you, and they'll say, "Oh, I sense that God says you should go to Cape Town." That's telling you specific that you should go to Cape Town. Although, if you ever get a prophecy and it contradicts scripture, you have to throw the prophecy out. God's word comes first and foremost. And so if you get a word that's contradicts scripture, you're not allowed to listen to it. Okay. So prophecy guides people. It will tell people specifically what God is saying. But you've got to also look through scripture and find out what does scripture say as well. You can't just go on what people say, because people can be wrong. And I've prophesied over people, and I've said stuff, and I've been wrong. And it's to comfort people. God has promised that this life is full of hardship and difficulties. But then he's promised that he'll send us a comforter in the Holy Spirit. And so he will give us comfort. He will tell us that he loves us in situations. He'll tell us what we can do in situations, or just tell us. Like the vision that I got with my mom walking up into heaven, that comforted me, because I knew without a shadow of a doubt where she had gone. How do we prophesy? Firstly, you need to pray. You need to ask God. When you see somebody that's hurting, or somebody that you want to speak, whose life you want to speak into, you pray for them and you say, "Lord, tell me something specific about that person. Show me something that I need to know." And then you have to listen. And you just be quiet before the Lord. And you'll see a picture, or an idea will pop into your head, or you'll get a feeling. And then you have to meditate. Now, meditate's not the hum thing. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that you have to think about it. You have to think, okay, if you've got a picture, then you think about the picture. "Lord, how can I share that picture with that person? How can I make that person understand what you're thinking about them, or how you're feeling about them?" You have to think about it, and you have to meditate. And then straight after that, remember that this whole thing is about faith. It's by faith that we are saved, and it's by faith that we can prophesy. And so by faith, I want you to share with that person what you feel God is saying to you. Who can prophesy? Any born-again, spirit-filled person can prophesy. It might not make you a prophet, but you can prophesy. Now, I want you to prophesy to each other. So I want you to stand up, and I want you to find somebody that you don't know. That's really tough. And everybody has to do it. So you have to stand up, go find somebody that you don't know. So you need to stand in twos.
If you were encouraged by that word, raise your hand.
If you were comforted or built up, anyone guided by that word, stunning. It's only for Sunday morning. You're not allowed to do it at school. Oh, no, that's not true. Debbie's frowning. This is for any time of the day or night. Cool.
Okay, I'm going to kick off with the next weapon, which is to perform miracles. Yes, I'm from UJ, and we have been experiencing a lot of miracles, a lot of things happening at our service. But it has been a lot of miracles of healings, demons being cast out. And so when I thought about talking about performing miracles, I was like, okay, I can speak a lot more about the healings that are happening at UJ and the driving out of demons and a whole lot of other God providing. But then I realized that already all of that, it's given someone else to do. And I'm like thinking, then what am I going to talk about? Because I haven't had an experience of other miracles yet. But what I feel God put in my heart to share with you guys is more on the teaching on what the miracle is, just growing in that understanding and also like increasing our faith in that. What I started with was just the definition. I really don't know how to use this thing, but please just bear with me. I got a definition of what a miracle is in the dictionary. It says it's an event that is contrary to the established laws of nature and it's attributed to the supernatural cause. And that was a simple definition that I got from the dictionary. But when I looked throughout the scriptures, I came down to my other definition, which is what I saw was more that a miracle is a demonstration of God's ability and supernatural power to perform mighty acts according to His will. And throughout the Bible, like when as I read through the Bible, through the like from the Old Testament to the New Testament, you see God like trying to demonstrate. To demonstrate His power, His ability to us of the authority that He has over the earth. It is a supernatural act that is beyond human possibility. So it really demonstrates the heaven's authority, like God's authority over us, over earth. And so I just think with us, the way I used to think about miracles before. I think it was so much more linked to the signs and wonders, but it didn't have the substance that it carries. With miracle, what happens is that what is bringing, when we actually perform miracles, what is bringing down is the kingdom of heaven. It brings with it that authority of heaven, that the nature, the character of who God is. And then I went down to actually also realize that it reveals to us who God is and His love for people. It's not just about us. I mean, sometimes when I think about miracles or signs, I'd actually think maybe more in the lines of magic, where like we can just think, okay, me and my friends want 10 cars, you know, and they're like, okay, we want 10 cars. Lord, can you just bring 10 cars now, you know? And then boom, 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 we have 10 cars. And it's got nothing to do with revealing God's love. It's just so much more about me just showing how cool I can be, you know, and but not necessarily demonstrating who God is and His love. But when you go deep into it and then you start from the angle of growing in intimacy with God, growing in love with Him, and then you realize like now when you want, even so then now wanting the 10 cars for me and my friends, if it's coming from the heart of God, if it's coming from a place of what God is doing with us here, it becomes not such a wrong thing anymore. So the substance of it, like the substance that it carries, it tells us what actually tells us what a miracle is. And I like when I have those cars because I'm thinking, Lord, we want to go on a mission. We need 10 cars to go to, like we need buckies to go to Mozambique and minister to the people there, to the kids there. Like it's got a different motive to it. And then that's why it can be a good thing. Now, actually, that's the wrong motive that I was talking about. Jesus spoke in Matthew 12, verse 39. He spoke about, like, he says that people would ask for, people who are wicked will ask for signs would ask for miracles, but it's for the wrong motives, as I was saying just before, that like people who are not submitted to God, people who are not growing in a relationship with God, they actually seek those things for the wrong motives because they don't know what they're supposed to do with those things. Only God, who created us, who created those things, know what we need to do with those things. Leading people astray. Basically, like here I was talking about, can we use miracles in the wrong way, you know? So, yes, we can, you know, like for the wrong motives, as I said before now. And then also leading people astray. In Matthew 24, for false Christ and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. So it's possible to actually perform miracles to lead people astray. The devil can perform miracles, and he can use the people who allow him to perform those miracles. So that's why it's very important that we always come back to align ourselves with who God is, with his will, and what he wants to do with our lives. And even as we seek the miracles, when we seek signs, we know that we are seeking it for the glory of God. And yes, we can also use miracles. Like if we are using those miracles, or we're desiring, or we're seeking after those miracles and signs, but not for advancing the kingdom of God, definitely what actually is happening is that we're actually then advancing the other kingdom, like which is the kingdom of darkness. So it's important that we actually are intentional about using those, like that we are here submitting ourselves to God and we desire to grow in the gift of miracles so that we can advance the kingdom of God. Can we do them? I was just thinking that like most of the questions that we have as young people is whether we can be the ones to do, can God use us to perform miracles? You know, and in the past we've seen a lot of miracles being performed by the older people, the older generation. But then when we look at ourselves, we kind of think that, okay, maybe we need to first grow up and then become somebody else, then we can perform miracles. The Bible in Mark 16, verse 17 says, "And these signs will accompany those who believe, and they will cast out demons, speak in tongues, handle snakes and poison, heal the sick." So it says it will accompany those who believe. I just want to see, can I see from show of hands, how many of you are believers here? Can I see all the believers? Can all the believers say, yay?
Yay!
Exactly. So because we are believers, then it means that each and every one of us here can perform a miracle. We can all perform miracles. And actually, God, we actually must perform miracles, because God in Matthew as well, I think it's Matthew 28, God speaks about, like in the beginning, he says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." And then he said, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations and do these things, and these signs will follow you." So it's like we have a mandate from God to actually go and perform miracles, because if we are not doing it, somebody else is doing. Because as you've seen from what I said now, that can the devil perform miracles? Yes, he can. So if we are not performing miracles, then the enemy is performing miracles. And then what does miracles do? They cause amazement. And people are willing to listen more when they see people performing miracles. When you say, if I come to you and then I say that I'm going to talk to you about the kingdom of God or about my house, and then I show you the things that I'm capable of doing that are very interesting to you or that actually minister to your need, you're definitely going to listen to me. So if the enemy is performing miracles and we are not, then we are not really like working with God, with what is in God's heart, which is his heart for the lost, for the people that doesn't know him. And it also increases our faith as well. We grow more in God. We have a mandate. We have a mandate to actually go out to the world and perform these miracles and bring people into the kingdom of God. And also as we go and we do these miracles and trust in God, we are also growing in our relationship with God. We're growing in our faith, and then we're growing and realizing that we can take up this world for Jesus. Amen.
I'm going to ask you to do something funny. I'm going to speak about having dreams and visions, and I'm going to ask you to sleep. That's a joke. That is a joke. It's a big joke. Okay. I am joking. Okay. All right. Having dreams and vision. This is a definition one. Definition number one. A dream is a series of thoughts, images, or emotions that appear in our minds during sleep. They can be straightforward, but most of the time they are not. And as you heard Pastor Carol was saying, if you have a dream that is scary, that, you know, you are so fearful, you must ask God to give you dreams that are from Him. Amen. Another definition of a dream. Dreams are supernatural communication of heaven. They are love letters filled with mysteries, intrigue, and also divine parables. If we remember, when Jesus was ministering here on earth, he spoke in parables. He spoke in parables. Why? Because he wanted us to get more into the Word, to read more, and to understand the things that he wants to reveal to us. Number one, dream must be interpreted. They are Holy Spirit inspired. Sometimes you get this, nightmares. Obviously, we said nightmares are not from God. So you must just ask God to remove them, and God to inspire you to dream the dreams that he has for you. Who had a dream last night? Is it? Was it good? Were they bad dreams? Is it? Okay, we're going to pray for that. We're going to ask God to give you dreams that are inspired by him. Okay. Dreams are parabolic. Their meaning is hidden. You know, in my notes, I even written, God likes to play hide and seek with us. Yeah. But anyway, not that he likes to reveal things to us. God loves to reveal things to us, not to conceal them. But the thing is, he wants us to desire, to ask him more about the things. And I want to read the scripture, Mark 4, verses 10 to 12. When he was alone, the 12 asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. So that secret, it is given to you. It's not hidden to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving. So this draws us nearer to God, because only him who can explain dreams to us. Okay. Dreams are interpreted by the Bible. We must know the Bible. Do you read your Bible? Or sometimes? Oh, okay. You must get to read it every day. Remember, you are a spiritual being. You've got a body, a soul, and your spirit. You must feed your spirit. You are eating every day, don't you? Like morning, evening, and lunch. But spiritually, you eat sometimes. Reading the Word, you need to read the Word every day. Okay. God does not speak no. Okay. This was supposed to be not in one way, not in another. Though man may not perceive it in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men as they slumber in their beds, he may speak into their ears and terrify them with warnings. Some dreams, sometimes God would be warning you about something, some things that are going to be happening. Let me tell you the dream I had last night. I had a dream that I was here speaking, and all of a sudden, everybody was asking, what's happening? What's that dream and everything? And I think I was anxious about it. Not because or anything. I think I was anxious about what I was going to speak about. So that's why it came that way. And there are three categories of dreams. Number one, God speaks to us, to our spirit. Our spirit crying out to God, and God's spirit interceding through our spirit. Amen. Sorry about that. And the Bible, we all know that the Bible has so many people who had dreams. Can you think of one person in the Bible? Yeah. Who else? Okay. Yeah. Most people in the Bible, from the book of Genesis till the end, Bible is full of people who had dreams in those days. And that means all of us can have dreams. Don't you think? Dream revelation is one of the ways that God transfers his divine plan and intention to earthly reality to invite us to become involved with him in his plan. This is an invitation for you to dream so that you can be involved with the dream, with the plan that God has for you. So it is important to have dreams. The scripture in Joel 2:28 verses 29, the Bible says, "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people, even the youth and his people." I'm sure that's what God means. "Your sons and daughters will prophesy," and you guys have just prophesied. And, "your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out your spirit in those days." And what I want to do now, I just want to pray for you guys because of time and everything. I want to pray that God pour out his spirit. And now I'm going to pray for you guys and I'm going to ask God to give you a picture, an image. And I'm gonna pray that you guys in your spirit ask God to give you something now. Even if it's a picture, one word, or anything, a vision of something, and let's see what God can do. Can we pray? Can you close your eyes and just take yourself out of here and just trust God to put something in your spirit? Father, as you promised in Joel 2, Father God, that you will pour out your spirit, that your sons and daughters will see dreams and visions, they will prophesy. And Father, right now, I pray, Holy Spirit, I pray for your presence. I invite you, Holy Spirit, right now to speak to each and every person here, Father God. Speak to them. Give them a picture. Give them an image. Give them something, Father God. Speak to them. And I ask that you make their hearts to receive, to desire to receive from you, Lord God. And I pray that you even explain what you want to say to their spirit, Lord God. We thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen. So here's where we've been. 1 minute review of 7 weeks. We were challenged to be supernatural because God loves us perfectly. We saw that as we encounter Jesus, he pulls us into a new realm. He gives us a brand new identity. Remember the new identity that we were once dark and now we are light. We were once dead, but we are now alive. We were once slaves, but we are now sons. We were once sinners, but we are now saints. Once we were human, now we are superhuman. Once we were earthly, now we are. Once we were natural, now we are supernatural. I am supernatural because I am. And so it's all about thinking supernaturally. Say it with me. Because of God's mercy, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Don't conform to the world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. Our thoughts shape us. Our thoughts shape us. Because God is supernatural, I think I can. I'm not going to think natural. I'm going to think supernatural. No more negative, only positive. No more small thinking, only big thinking. No more doubtful thinking, only. No more selfish thinking. Because God is supernatural, I will accept his mission to follow Jesus, to fish for men, to make disciples, to shine before men, to meet people's needs. And we were challenged last week in this to act supernaturally. Because the battle is supernatural, I need super weapons. What are they? They are speak in tongues, share wisdom, raise the dead, drive out demons, prophesy, perform miracles, have dreams and visions. It was God who anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went around doing good and healing all were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. God, right now, as we leave this place, anoint us with your Holy Spirit and with power, and then we will go out and do good and drive out demons and bring people into your kingdom. So anoint us in the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, fill us like we've never been filled to overflowing. You said we should continually be filled to overflowing. In the awesome name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Go with God.